Dry County?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is it was, they told me that on one side of the courthouse was dry, and on one side it was wet. You know, counties down there, they have areas that are dry and wet. And anyway, like I said, we got all over this guy at the service station. So I don't want to find it. You let the old boy take it. I thought it was, but anyway, we got out, we went to this house, and air cold, knocked on the door, and the guy came out. He talked to him, and he said, I know you got the best for you. And the guy went and opened the shed door, started bringing the batteries out. On a rare occasion, people would get there, take a step off. Very rare. Normally we were close enough to it if we had notified the local law enforcement. We would have somebody coming down in the area. They would be on the lookout for us. By the time they would be there, the sheriff's people would be there for we alerted them. Followed this thing down to the inside, and then he left and just packed caught up with his vehicle. And we got back to where the thing had landed, and it was gone. He said, well, that's funny. He said, it was there. He said, I know it was there. He said, I saw a pickup as I was going back to get you off. He said, I saw a pickup down there. So he circled around and he located it. Brought it down.
brings me to a question. When you arrived at the recovery scene in a situation like that, or somebody gave you some help, would you, right there in the field, you would have to take their names down, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, we always got the names of the people that were there giving for information. In the future, you know, if something was damaged or missing, or, you know, or if we had a complaint from somebody for any damage that was involved in the actual, you know, recovery operation.
So that would be a standard procedure that when you got there and there were civilians in the area, you would go ahead and take their names?
Yes.
And that will stand?
Right. And a lot of times, you know, different people have to be if someone went out of their way to help them retrieve it, you know, we take their name down, bring it back, and give it to the commander.
Out there, would there have ever, while the time you were supervisor or any time that you can remember, would anyone have had a reason to threaten a civilian that was near a payload with death?
No.
Would there have been any reason to make any kind of threat?
No. I remember one time we had a
desolate area. there's been some stories getting along, talking about the civilians and things, but some stories that people are saying, the fellow was, said he was out looking for some rocks one day, and a payload came down, and he described your vehicles, the comm vehicles and everything, and then he described these MPs coming and threatening people. And on a typical recovery that you guys were recovering around Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, when it came down, what would you do? Would you just ask the people to step back a little, or would they just step back? At times, you were responsible for not only recovering the payload, but there were other things to recover too, were there not?
Yeah.
kind of like a New Mexican. They kind of do what they want too, don't they? Hey, so would the balloon come down all in one big lump, or would it?
Most generally, it would be an old one, but it would be ripped down the low line, you know. But it would be tied together at the bottom, you know, and have a metal ring where it all goes together, and then it seals, and then at the top, where the valve.
Valve off on the gas.
Yeah, valve off on the gas. And you can bring it down to the whole valve. Or if you were trying to put it into the designated area where your car is sitting, and then roll it out, put it down and roll it out to you, speed it up on time, put it into a different area, and then if you want to gain altitude again, you can add another way to see that the ballast.
People have said that sometimes the balloon would break into little pieces and it'd come down like rain.
On a rare occasion, because of the extreme cold atmosphere, when they terminate, this material would be brittle, and the sudden upsurge, you know, might cause it to kind of shatter, you know, to a certain extent. But as a general rule, it was pretty much one of the they would be a lot of, sometimes there would be a lot of flutter away and together and scattered, you know, in quite an area. But usually they weren't small pieces. Never did I know one like rain.
Couple foot sections,
yeah,
maybe.
Sometimes.
Would they come down pretty much in the same area? Or?
No. No. If they broke free, quite some distance, actually, it would broke free. I'm sure that a lot of it was small.
So if I were to look at a field weather or a balloon, it broken up some at altitude, would it be like pieces, a lot of pieces around the field?
No, rare. Especially in this area where we're in altitude, you wouldn't see it. Yeah,
the other thing you need to recover was the control arm, wasn't it? Control package?
Well, yes, we had one of them called. Where to the bar,
got, they were pretty odd. Payload was that? One of the NASA payloads?
Yeah.
Viking or Voyager?
Viking or Voyager.
And you were on both of those?
What?
You were on both of those?
Oh, yeah.
And where did you launch those from?
Those were launched from the old airport.
Industrial Air Center?
Did
you go on the recoveries of those? I had a trajectory one that landed up in the 50 mile area. Were you on that one? Because I'm wondering if civilians ever come around these the landings. Didn't they have to call ahead of time and say that they thought they were going to have a landing up there and they'd clear the ranchers out of there? If someone was to say they saw some Air Force people in a field picking up stuff, like, would that be unusual in New Mexico, West Texas, and Arizona? Last you would tell them the government payload.
Oh, yes.
ever have occasion? I've seen some of the pictures. Did you ever have occasions to borrow tractors or bulldozers or mules or anything from local folks?
We have borrowed